الليل فلا هادي له، وصلواته وسلامه على أفضل خلق الله، على سيدنا وحبيبنا رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر. الحمد لله. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said للصائم فرحتان. He has two joys. One is the joy when he breaks his fast, which is at each end of the day, but also on the Eid, because we're breaking fast. And the second farha, the second joy, is when the faster meets their Lord. And the Prophet did not mean the joy of eating the food, according to Imam Nawawi. He meant the joy of completing an ibadah. That's the joy, that you fulfilled something that your Lord commanded you to do. He would never look at something so low as eating food to be the joy of the believer. So alhamdulillah is a great blessing. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah, this is the second Ramadan in the COVID lockdown. It was very interesting. The Quran says, you know, that the people in hell, they have over them 19. And it's like Allah's put over us this COVID-19 because humans have made the planet hell. The Quran says to the people of hell, Allah says to the people of hell, مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَنَاصَرُونَ. What's wrong with you that you don't help one another? Even in hell, they're not helping one another. In hell, they're not helping one another. مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَنَاصَرُونَ. What's wrong with you that you don't help one another? So even in hell, they haven't learned the lesson. Hellish people don't help one another. And the people of Jannah are people that help other people. They help one another. And that's the whole purpose of community. That's the purpose of the deen that we've been given, is ta'awunu ala birri wa taqwa. Like, help one another in birr and taqwa. Now the other thing about this dunya is it's a darul bala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in a hadith, they asked him, سُئِلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَيُّ النَّاسِ أَشَدُّ بَلَاءً. Which people have the worst tribulation in the dunya? He said, الْأَنْبِيَاءُ فَالْأَمْثَلُ وَالْأَمْثَلُ. First the prophets, the prophets, ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلُ فَالْأَمْثَلُ. And then after that, those who are closest to them, and then those that are closest to them. So the tribulations, Sahaba, they were students of the Prophet. And what happens right when the Prophet goes? They have the tribulation of the fitna. They all start fighting one another. It's amazing. So this is the nature of dunya. It's always going to be tribulation. And if you accept that as a baseline, then you'll be much better off than people that think that they're here to enjoy paradise. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Dunya sijnul mu'min." It's the prison of the believer. What do you do in prison? A lot of people, there was a man who was in prison in Alcatraz, and every night he would, he had this little, there was a grate for where the air came in. So he took off the grate and he began to make a tunnel. Every single night he would stay up the whole night and he would dig because he wanted to escape Alcatraz. He was a criminal. But every night he did that night work. He's the only person known to have escaped. He brought two people with him. But that is what a prisoner who wants to get out of his prison does. He does night work because he can't do it in the daytime. So the mu'min, he wants to get out of this prison. He does night work. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Help me with night work to get you out of the prison." Because this is a low security prison. The next one is maximum security. It's much worse than this one. This is the low security prison. So we should recognize that it's a great blessing to be in a low security prison. We even get spousal visitations. Some prisons, they do that. They give them spousal visitation. It's a blessing. But know that this is just a big cell. When I used to be an imam in the prisons, I used to tell them, the only difference between you and the people outside is you know you're in prison. And your cell's much smaller than the cell outside. But this is a cell for the believer. And that's why the believer follows the injunctions of the warden. Because when you don't, you get, your sentence will be longer. You're not going to get off for good behavior. When the parole board comes up, you won't have any excuse. They'll say, well, you did this and you did that. You got in those fights and you were stealing other prisoners' goods and you even murdered a prisoner here. They're not going to give you parole. So the dunya is a scission. So the Prophet ﷺ said, الْأَنْبِيَاءُ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلُ فَالْأَمْثَلُ يُبْتَلَى النَّاسُ عَلَى قَدْرِ دِينِهِمْ. People will be given tribulation in accordance with their deen. It's commensurate with their deen. The greater your deen, the more tribulation you have. فَمَنْ ثَخُنَ دِينُهُ اشْتَدَّ بَلَاؤُهُ. So the one who has a strong deen, a firm deen, he has great difficulty. وَمَنْ ضَعُفَ دِينُهُ ضَعُفَ بَلَاؤُهُ. And the one who has a weak deen, his tribulation is weaker. وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيُصِيبُهُ الْبَلَاءُ حَتَّى يَمْشِيَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ وَمَا عَلَيْهِ خَطِيئًا. And a man will be continued to get affliction until he's walking on the earth like an angel. He's walking on the earth without sin. There's people, that's their condition. And you don't know if you meet a person like that. They're walking on the earth. They've had so much tribulation in their life, and they've been patient and content with what Allah gave them. And so they don't have any sin, because it's all been removed. And some of the salihin, and you see this, you see this in the Ahlul Bayt, at the end of their lives, they get grave tribulation, and they have extended illnesses, because they're going to leave the world without any tribulations. They're going to leave the world in a state of purity. There are many verses that tell us this. مَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ حَسَنَةً فَمِنْ اللَّهِ. Whatever afflicts you from hasana is from Allah. وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ. And whatever afflicts you from any سَيِّئَة, from any difficulties, is from your own self. وَأَرْسَلْنَاكَ لِلنَّاسِ رَسُولًا وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. And we sent you as a messenger to convey these messages to people so that they would know. And all the messengers bring this message. This was the message. Even the Buddha, his teaching, the very first thing he taught his people, the world is suffering. You're going to have difficulty. That's the nature of it. He said the cause was attachment. Because if you're detached, you're not going to suffer. If you're detached from your illness, if you just see this as, okay, this is part of the world. This is what Allah intended in the creation. And then, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ أَوْ بِمَا كَسَبْتَ أَيْدِيكُمْ in a riwayah. وَيَعْفُ عَن كَثِيرٍ. Whatever afflicts you, it's what your own hands have earned. It's what your own hands have earned. So that's something to understand also. There's two types of musibah. There's a musibah that comes by the very nature of the abode, like the tsunami and other great, what they call natural evil, as opposed to moral evil. Moral evil is when you do something to another person, like somebody kills a person. That's moral evil. Because he's a moral agent, he killed that person. But natural evil, it just occurs in the world. And a lot of people have a hard time with it. They don't understand it. Because it afflicts everybody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصًا. Guard yourselves against tribulations that don't just affect the wrongdoers among you. The reason that the ulama say the reason this is so is because if it only afflicted the wrongdoers, then there would be no reason to do Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahi an al-Munkar. But when they see that, oh, if we allow evil to proliferate, then we're all going to get affected by it. And that's why a wise philosopher said that the only thing evil needs to proliferate is for good people to do nothing. And so Allah has made the sunnah of this world that when people openly do evil, it affects everybody, even the children. أَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَامَهُ الْأَطْفَالَ وَشِبْهُ فَحَذَرٍ مِحَادَ. That even children will suffer. So a lot of what you're seeing now is a result of the sinfulness of people. A lot of these diseases, you don't know where they came from. But the Prophet ﷺ said that perversions never manifest in a people except they get diseases that their ancestors didn't know about. So even diseases, a lot of the sources of disease is the sinfulness of people. This is our belief. People don't want, everybody wants these materialistic, scientific excuses. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا. The human being, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا. Verily man knows himself. وَلَوْ أَلْقَ مَعْذِرَ Even if he gives his excuses. So that's very important to remember that. And one of the things about that is he says, وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ In Surah Ash-Shura, that he forgives many things. In other words, what we're getting compared to what we deserve is actually much less. So that's a blessing in itself, and that's why Ibn Abbas said, in any blessing, in any tribulation, see three blessings, so that you're grateful. Because the higher maqam is not to be patient, it's actually to be grateful. The first is that it could be worse. So that's a reason to be grateful. The second is that it's in your dunya and not in your deen. لا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا he said in a dua. Don't make our tribulation in the religion. So it's in the dunya, that's a blessing. And then he said, the third was it's in this world and not the next. So any tribulation or calamity that happens to you, you have to say Alhamdulillah for those three reasons. So that's really, really important. And also the Prophet ﷺ, Aisha radiallahu anhu relates that he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا مِن مُصِيبَةٍ تُصِيبَ الْمُسْلِمَ إِلَّا كَفَرَ اللَّهُ بِهَا عَنْهُ سَيِّئًا That no, nothing that happens to you in any calamity, إِلَّا كَفَرَ اللَّهُ بِهَا عَنْهُ He will remove sins in that calamity. And there's a hadith also that إِذَا أَحَبَ اللَّهُ قَوْمًا أَبْتَلَاهُمْ فَإِذَا رَضِيَ Right? Either if they were content, فَرَهُمَ رِضَى Then they get the contentment of Allah. وَإِذَا سَخِطَى But if they get angry, فَرَهُمَ سَخَطْ Then they get the opposite. So that, and then he said, حَتَّى شَوْكَتُ Or شَوْكَتِ حَتَّى شَوْكَتُ Even the thorn that you get in your foot, يَشَاكُهَا That afflicts the foot. When I was in Mauritania, we'd walk and they have these things called initi. They're little, they really drive you nuts. The more time we would always say, la la khair, hadha kafara. Like I would really, because they get all over your feet. And their feet are like rocks because they walk all the time in the, whereas my feet were California feet. they were much more sensitive. So they really, but they would, they looked at it as a good thing. They didn't see it as a negative thing. It's a different, their whole way of viewing, believers view things completely different. One Mauritani, he asked me if they had flies in America. And I said, you know, actually we don't really have... Because in Mauritania, when they bring the food, 1,000 flies, they're like a swarm of locusts. They just come. It's amazing. And they have to swat them away. Somebody sometimes just keeps fanning so that others can eat from the flies. And I told him, you know, you don't really see flies very often. He said, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ اسْتِعْجَالَ النِّعْمَةِ Said, I see refuge in Allah, they're getting all their blessings early. Like he just looked at it in a different way. Because that's the way the believer looks. So that's very important. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِلَّا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهَا حَسَنًا وَحَطَّ عَنْهُ بِهَا خَطِيئًا Allah will decree just even a thorn that you get a hasana with it. Because it's an ibtila. So that's very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ Like take isti'ana in sabr and prayer, in patience and prayer. In Allah ma'a sabirin, because Allah is with the sabirin. He's with the patient ones. So be patient. Sabr wa shukr. These are things, Imam Ghazali puts them together because the Quran puts them together. They're very important. And then he says, وَلَا تَقُولِي لِمَنْ يُقْتَرُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ Don't say about the people who were killed in the way of Allah that they're dead. They're not dead, but أحياء وَلَكَنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ You're not aware of their life. So even when you lose people, and many people like COVID people, if you're a believer, it's a martyr's death. Sahaba, in the year they had the plague in Syria, there was Sahaba that begged Allah to take them. They were older people, but they begged a lot because they wanted a martyr's death. So, and they actually were taken in that. So they actually asked, even though we're not really supposed to ask for death, the Prophet said, don't ask for death. He said, لَا يَتَمَنِّيَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ الْمَوْتِ مِنْ مُصِيبَةً أَصَابَتْهُ Don't ask for death because of some calamity that's affected you. وَإِنْ كَانَ لَا بُدَّ فَرْيَقُوهُ أحيني ما دامت الحياة خيرا لي وتوفني ما كانت الوفاة خيرا لي. That if you have to say it, then say, keep me alive as long as life is good for me, and let me die when death is better for me. And I'm going to talk about that in a moment. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشَّرَ الصَّابِرِينَ. He's going to test you in the dunya. So give good tidings to the people who show patience. What do they do? الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَرَوَاتٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. So that is those are the people that when they're afflicted, they remind themselves. It's a reminder to yourself. I belong to God. So God can do whatever He wants with His dominion. I belong to God. And one of the things, a lot of the tribulation, like it said, بِمَا كَسَبْ تَأْيْدِيهِمْ, I was talking about the two types of musibas. So that you have the natural ones, and then you also have things, sometimes just genetically, you're more predispositioned to certain illnesses. That's ibtida from Allah, it's not your fault. But if you're overeating, if you're not exercising, if you're doing these things, and then you get sick, you have only yourself to blame. That, because there's things that you can do. Health is a choice for a lot of people. It's a choice. Like, you choose to be healthy by doing the things Allah told you to do to stay healthy. If you don't do those things and then you get sick, then you have no one to blame but yourself. So that's very important to remember that. And then one of the things about tribulation, the Prophet ﷺ said, يَوَدُّ أَهْلَ الْعَافِيَةِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حِينَ يُعْطَ أَهْلُ الْبَلَاءِ الثَّوَابِ لَوْ أَنَّ جُلُودُهُمْ كَانَتْ قُرِضَتْ بِالْمَقَارِيقِ. I mean, this is an amazing hadith. Imam al-Tirmidhi relates it. He said that on the Day of Judgment, when the people who had good health and well-being in dunya, because some people, they're blessed like that, and it is a blessing. We don't want tribulation. We ask Allah for afiyah. The Prophet said, ask Allah for well-being. But if it comes to you, he said, be patient. So we don't ask, oh, give me tribulation. But he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is tasliyah for the people of tribulation. It's a way of consoling and solace for the people of tribulation. He said that on the Day of Judgment, when the people of well-being in the world see the people of tribulation, they will wish that they could go back to the dunya and have their skin flayed with scissors, like literally cut off, because that's the way they used to torture people. They, you know, you call them flaying them alive. They would wish that that was their tribulation. So the point is that whatever, don't ask for tribulation. We don't want tribulation. But if you get it, you have to understand that it's not a negative thing for believers. There's redemption in it. There's a reason for it. Now, if you look at the Prophet's life, who had more tribulation? He had tribulation. He was an orphan. People have no idea. If there's any orphans here, they know exactly what I'm talking about. But people that had the blessing of two parents, or even one parent, to grow up without parents, the people that brought you into the world, their sabab for your existence, the reason for your existence, just to have parents for a long time. You know, the Sudanese proverb says that you're a child as long as your parents are alive. Because even if you're 50 years old, your parents will treat you, you know, you're just their kid. That's the way they'll do it. Especially the ladies know this more than the men, because they have this, and that's natural. But when they die, you're an orphan. And you feel it. Doesn't matter how old you are. You feel like something's been lost in the dunya. That you can't get back. And people who've lost their parents know exactly what I'm talking about. The ones that haven't yet, just honor your parents. And call them and visit them if you're able to, because they're a great blessing to have. And they love you, and it's an unconditional love. It's an amazing type of love. So the Prophet ﷺ lost his parents, and then he lost his uncle. And then he had many tribulations. And then when the prophecy came, his people chased him out. In fact, Waraqa told him, you know, I wish I was with you. Waraqa ibn Nawfal, who was Khadijah's relative, when she took him, she knew to take him because he knew about the scriptures. And she thought it was revelation. And he confirmed it. He said, this is the namus, the nomos, the law that came to Moses. When Waraqa, he said, I wish I was a young man so that I could be with you to support you when your people chased you out. He said, awa mukhrijiya? Huh? Like they're going to chase me out. He couldn't understand it. Like, why would they do that? He was al-Amin. He was from a noble clan. But that's the sunnah of the prophets. A prophet hath no honor in his own land. And this is the sunnah of the prophets. They get chased out. So that's a huge tribulation to lose your clan, especially in a tribal society. And then he went to Medina, and all his life is tribulation. He lost all of his children except for one. He buried six of his children. I mean, who has done that? Very few people. And then his sickness was the sickness of double, twice. Any sickness he got was twice the natural sickness. So if he got a headache, it was twice as bad as anybody else. So this was the way, this is our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he had Aisha asked him what was the worst period, he said it was when he went to Ta'if. That was the worst thing. And he said, your people, what your people did to me. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is really not of this world. I mean, he had the physical form of an Arab, but he was not of this world. When he went to Ta'if, they literally threw rocks at him. After he called them to Islam, they threw rocks at him, and then the people spit on him, and they had their slaves, which is even more humiliating. They didn't even do it themselves. And so when he was going out, the angel came to him and said, do you want to destroy these people? He said, no, I hope that they'll be guided. And that was a test for him. Allah was testing him. But his dua, the famous dua, he said, Allahumma ilayka ashku da'fa quwwati. I complained my weakness. See, he didn't say ashku qawmi or ashku ha'ulai. This is what we do now today. We complain about everybody but ourselves. He didn't say ashku ha'ula bani hawazim, bani thaqif. He didn't complain about them. He said ashku da'fa quwwati wa qillata hilati. And my lack of strategy. Like, I went there, I tried. He's complaining about himself. Like, maybe I wasn't good enough. Maybe I didn't present it the best way. He's not blaming them for rejecting the message. He's blaming himself. This is an amazing lesson in this dua. And then he said, wa hawani ala nas. He didn't say, wa ihanata nas iyaya. He said, I complain to you my insignificance in the eyes of the people. He didn't say their contempt for me. He said, hawani ala nas, my insignificance. That's a stunning statement. Ya arhamar rahimin, look at the name he calls by. Oh, most merciful of those who show mercy. Anta rabbul mustada'fin, you are the Lord of the oppressed. You are the, like he's clearly mustada'f here. And he says, you are the Lord of the oppressed. Wa anta rabbi, and you are my Lord. He didn't put himself in the oppressed. He just said, wa anta rabbi, as if he's not one of them. Like, I'm not complaining, I'm oppressed. He said, you're the Lord of the oppressed. Wa anta rabbi. So he doesn't put himself in there. He's saying, you know, the mustada'fin, wa anta rabbi. Ila man takilni, who are you going to lead me to? He's saying, you brought me to these people. Are you going to lead me to these people? إِلَى بَعِيدٍ يَتَجَهَّمُنِي, from these distant people that will treat me terribly. إِلَى عَدُوٍ مَلَّكْتُهُ أَمْرِي, or to an enemy, مَلَّكْتُهُ أَمْرِي. Look at the tawheed here. He's not seeing the people as having some kind of power outside of Allah's power. Allahumma malik al-mulk tu'til mulka man tasha. That's his maqam. His maqam is he sees everything from Allah. All the tribulations that are coming in the dunya, he's not seeing, oh, these evil people, these evil kuffar, these evil people that have conquered our land. You know, he's saying, anta malaktuhum amri. Right? So then he says, as long as you're not upset with me, as long as you're not angry at me, I'm not bothered by it. La ubali. The Arabs say la ubali, it means I'm not giving it any consideration. So all these tribulations that he's being afflicted by, he's saying, لا أبالي, as long as you're not upset with me. And then he says, ولكن عافيتك أوسع لي. But well-being is it's more comfortable. It's more comfortable. أعوذ بنور وجهك الذي أشرقت له الظلمات. I seek refuge in the light of your countenance, by which the entire creation is illuminated. All the darknesses are removed. وَصَرَحَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ And everything in the dunya and the afterlife is made right. مِنْ أَن تُنْزِلَ بِي غَضَبَكَ That you should reveal your wrath to me. أَوْ يَحِلَّ عَلَيَّ سَخَطُكَ Or I should be enveloped with your anger. لَكَ الْعُتْبَ حَتَّى تَرْضَى You can censor me until you're pleased. You can censor me. You can say whatever you want to me until you're pleased. That we ask for forgiveness. لَكَ الْعُتْبَ Us asking forgiveness حَتَّى تَرْضَى Until you're pleased. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ That's how he ends the tawheed. لَا حَوْلَ بَيْنَ وَبَيْنَ الْمَعْصِيَةِ وَلَا قُوَّةَ عَلَى الطَّاعَةِ إِلَّا بِكَ I cannot be prevented from doing ma'asiyah without your help, and I cannot be consistent in my obedience without your help. So that's really important. And then, so in that situation, there's sabr and shukr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاسْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا وَتَقُوا اللَّهِ Like, be patient and enjoin tawasu bisabr. You know, enjoin one another to be patient. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرُهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ You're going to be given without any reckoning your patience in that. أَسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ All of the verses in the Qur'an, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ All these sayings are to remind us of this. And then the second maqam is shukr. And shukr is, it's gratitude, it's higher than patience. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ الْآيَةً لِكُلِّ صَبَّارٍ شَكُورٍ He prefaces that verse in Surah Ibrahim with the verses about Moses reminding them about Pharaoh, and then at the end of it, he says, وَتَأَذَّنَا رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَيَزِيدَنَّكُمْ That if you're patient, if you're grateful, Allah will increase you. That is preceded by him reminding them about the أُذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذَنْ جَاكُمْ مِنْ أَلِي فِرْعَوْنَ Remember the blessing of Allah when he saved you from the people of Fir'aun. يَسُمُّنُكُمْ سُوَ الْعَذَابِ وَيُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ وَفِي ذَلِكَ بَلَاءٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ In that is a tribulation from your Lord. That's Tawheed. It wasn't Fir'aun. Muslims have lost this understanding. For some reason, my only conclusion is they don't read the Qur'an. And if they read it, they don't لَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ That's all my only conclusion about it. Because it's all there in the book. And when you have that perspective, Allah is going to give you victory, just like He gave the Prophet ﷺ victory. That dua is an amazing dua, because that was his tawheed. What does Imam Al-Ghazali in the Ihya, he puts tawheed with tawakkul. Tawheed and tawakkul are together. Because if you don't have that tawheed, you won't. And then, when Iblis swears his oath, that he's, you know, that I'm going to sit and wait on your straight path. لَقُدْ عَنْهُمْ سِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ Right, and then he's going لَأَتِيَنُّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ So he's going to wait in line. And what does he say? You won't find the majority of them grateful. So that's his strategy, to make you all ingrates, which is the real meaning of kafir. A disbeliever is an ingrate. And that's Iblis' strategy, because he was ungrateful. So he wants to reduce everybody to a state of ingratitude, which is tragic, right? So, but anyway, the tribulations are all, you know, they're all part of the dunya. And we have to remember that this is, you know, حِكَمًا نُشِجَتْ بِيَدٍ حَكَمَتْ ثُمَّنْ تُسِجَتْ فَبِنْ مُنْتَسِجِ You know, like he says in the Munfarija, that all these tribulations are from a wise creator, woven with a wise hand, the warp and woof of which come together. Right, so you have to see that it's all in Allah's plan. And just like the ant can't see that pattern on the carpet, we can't see the plan of Allah, but everybody's in the plan of Allah. يَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. They're in the plan of Allah. All of their strategies are in the plan of Allah. And everything will come to pass that was meant to come to pass. The next thing I wanted to talk about was Ramadan was a time when people go back to the Book of Allah. Now, you're obviously there's supernatural facilitation, and I'll be the first to admit this, because we all know that something happens the moment that this is amazing. You can feel it. You know, somebody said, Imam Majid's daughter, he told me, I think it was somebody from Chicago told me that their daughter said, I felt like I had this really tight embrace from Ramadan, and the moment the Eid came, I felt the embrace was released. So there's a supernatural event with Ramadan. But the point of Ramadan is, if you had a connection to Allah, with the Quran, it's to strengthen that connection. If you didn't have one, it's to reconnect you with the Book of Allah. But the purpose is not to let today suddenly that connection is over until the next Ramadan. At least if it's in Ramadan, that's a blessing for some people, alhamdulillah, that they're still connected. Because there are a lot of people that aren't connected anymore. They don't even fast. I mean, it's the first time in Muslim history, I think, where you're seeing this phenomenon. It's really quite tragic. And I always tell people, don't be the link that breaks the chain. There's people here from Muslim countries, Afghanistan, Syria, Palestine, different places, India, Pakistan. Over 1,000 years. That's why you're Muslim. Because for 1,000 years, in some cases, 1,400 years, each generation transmitted this truth to the next generation. They don't think they didn't have tribulation. They had plagues. They lost their whole families. They had wars. They had the Mongols. They had the Christians. People had their tongues cut out for teaching Quran in Andalusia. That's a historical fact. They were tortured in the Inquisition. All those things. And so now, because things are a little difficult, you're going to leave the deen? Subhanallah. I mean, shame on those people for betraying all of their ancestors. Because I guarantee you, there's nobody who was born Muslim coming from a long line that didn't have awliya in their family. Have no doubt. And those awliya did not bring people into the world for them to be profligate, for them to forget their Lord, to forget their Creator. So that's really important. So come back to the Book of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith that Imam Muslim relates, that Abu Hurairah told us, that مَاشْتَمْعَ قَوْمًا فِي بَيْتٍ مِنْ بِيُوتِ اللَّهِ, that no group of Muslims gets together in a house from the houses of Allah. يَتْلُونَ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ, they recite the Book of Allah, but then look, وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ بَيْنَهُمْ, and they study it together. And this is a very important hadith, because we've abandoned this practice. People have personal recitation, but the idea of actually coming together to reflect on the Book of Allah and study it together. إِلَّا نَسَدَتْ عَلَيْهِمَ السَّكِينَةُ وَغَشِيَتْهُمَ الرَّحْمَةُ وَحَفَّتْهُمَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. You will be enveloped in sakina. There's a hadith where a man had a horse. One of the Sahaba had a horse, and he tied his horse with the habal, and then he was reciting it, and it was very hot, you know, Arabia, and a cloud came, Sahaba, he called it Sahaba, came and covered him, and the horse was like looking up and moving away. So he went to the Prophet and he told him, this is muttafaqan alayh, and he said, هذه السكينة التي تنزل عند قراءة القرآن. This is the sakina that comes in the recitation of the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ said that he أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَأَنْ أَتْلُوَ الْقُرْآنَ. I was commanded to be from the Muslims and to recite the Quran. Why did he put those two together? The Quran puts those two together, that you were commanded to be a Muslim and to recite the Quran. So don't be the people that Allah, the Prophet ﷺ complained about, إِنَّ قَوْمِ يَتَّخِذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. My people have abandoned this book. And Abu Hanifa says, he's the most generous. He says at least read it twice a year. So you're not from those. But Imam al-Ghazali says once a month, that if you're not doing it once a month, it's like you've abandoned it. He actually says that's hadd al-adna. And then, and I'm telling this to you, normally I wouldn't do this, like when I taught the class, because you, all of you are, I know you're strong people, so it's not going to overwhelm you. But for other people, if I was speaking to a public audience, I would not say, I just get them to read like a paragraph a day, or half a page. Because you have to know your audience. If you say, read a juz a day, and then they don't do anything, because they feel overwhelmed. That's part of the problem in the Muslim world, is you have these imams on the minbars that are constantly berating the believers. And then they feel like that, or they completely associate deen and khuluq. So the person that doesn't have deen has no khuluq. Instead of recognizing that khuluq, there's people without Islam that have good, excellent moral character. But in the Muslim world, they always conflate the two, even though the Prophet ﷺ separated them. مَنْ جَاءَكَ يُرْضِيكُمْ دِينُهُ وَخُلُقُهُ. He didn't say دِينُهُ فَقَطْ, assuming that khuluq is in there. He said دِينُهُ وَخُلُقُهُ. Because they're not together. There's people that have deen and no khuluq. And there's people that have khuluq and no deen. And the best people are the people that have deen and khuluq. That's why he said, if they come, then marry them. Zawijuhum, like marry them your children. So that's really important to do that. وَذَكُرُمُ اللَّهُ فِي عِنْدُهُ. And they will be mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So this Qur'an that Allah says, مَا فَرَطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, Allah didn't leave anything out in the book. Right? It's tafsiran li kulli shay. It will clarify everything. So this is really, really important to get back to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tafsila kulli shay'in. Wa tibyana li kulli shay'in. So that's really important. And then finally about the Qur'an, in the famous hadith that Imam An-Nawawi relates, he said, وَالْقُرْآنُ حُجَّةٌ لَكَ وَعَلَيْكَ. This Qur'an is going to be a hujjah for you or against you. So make it a hujjah for you. And the way you do that is to keep it with you, to recite it, and then to apply it as best you can. Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran will come on the Day of Judgment, and actually they will fight for your salvation. And it's a hadith. تُحَاجَّنِ عَنْ صَاحِبِهِمَا. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you recite Al-Baqarah in your house, shaitan will not come into your house for 3 days. Baqarah. 2.5, it takes about 1.5 hours. So shaitan won't come into your house. So if you're feeling something going on in your house, recite Baqarah and they'll leave. They have to leave. They can't stay. So it's really important. Also, mulk is really important. The Prophet ﷺ said 30 ayahs I wish was in the heart of every believer. Tabarak alladhi biyadihi al-mulk. Reciting that every night, the Prophet ﷺ said, it will come in your grave and it will defend you if you recite it every night. The Prophet, these are called qawari' al-Qur'an. Taqra' al-shayateen. These are the striking things in the Qur'an that will fight for you. The Prophet ﷺ said, no one will read ayatul kursi after every prayer, except there will be nothing between him and Jannah except death. So these are all gifts from our deen. So it's really important to do that. So, and then the Prophet said, كُلُّ النَّاسِ يَغْدُو فَبَعِيُ نَفْسُهُ فَمُعْتَقَهَا وَمُوْبِقُهَا. Everyone will arise every single day. You're either saving yourself or destroying yourself. There's a choice. This great philosopher said, every moment is an ethical moment. Because there's always a choice in every moment to do the right thing or to do the wrong thing. Every moment. That's your life. So that's, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you all. The Prophet ﷺ said that in a hadith that's in the Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shayba, he says, Al-Baytu إِذَا تُولِيَ فِيهِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ يَتَّسَعْ بِأَهْلِهِ. If a house in which the book of Allah is recited will actually expand for the family. And this is, you have kings that feel constricted in their palaces. Wallahi, I guarantee you, there are Gaddafi, every night he had to sleep in a different place. Every night, because he was worried about assassination. So you have people that they're in this vast expanse and they don't And then when Isa, there's a hadith in our tradition where Isa, Jesus, when they were burying somebody, and somebody said, "Ma adyaq al qabr," you know, how constricted is the qabr? And he said, for the believer, it's like the womb of his mother. The womb expands as you grow. Right? So the bigger your soul gets, the bigger your grave is going to be. I mean, that's the reality of it. And for others, it's going to be real constriction. These are all truths of our religion. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَكَثُرَ خَيْرُهُ. You will see much good in that house. From reciting the Qur'an, much good in that house. You will get what you need. وَحَضَرَتْهُ الْمَلَائِكَ. And then the angels want to visit, because the angels, according to, just like we see the lights in the night sky, there's traveling angels that look for places of dhikr. Wherever there's places where the Qur'an is recited, they see them like we see the stars. And they go to those places. And when there's a khatam, the 70,000 come. You're just flooded with them. So these are great gifts to have. They're real. This is all real. It's all real. It's not made up. This is not mythology. This is real. We're just not aware of it. And the more present you get, the more aware you're going to be of these things. And then he said, وَضَاقَ. And he said, وَالْبَيْتُ إِذَا لَمْ يُتْرَ فِيهِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ ضَاقَ بِأَهْلِهِ وَقَلَّ خَيْرُهُ وَحَضَرَتْهُ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Look at all the, you know, just the shayateen of, like people watch films of shayateen, literally shayateen. That, you know, they fill their house with filth. There's people watching shayateen fornicate in their homes. Like, it's amazing what's going on out there. All of this sickness. So make your house a house of light, not a house of darkness. A house that, if the Prophet ﷺ came, just imagine one night you get a knock at the door and you open it and it's the Messenger of Allah visiting you. Just imagine if you invited him into your house, if he would see anything that would trouble him. I mean, just think about your house. Is it a place where you would feel comfortable bringing the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in? And then the one who recites Qur'an, the Prophet said that a man who has no Qur'an in him is like a derelict house that has no one residing in it. And he said that on the day, Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah will say, Iqra warqa. Like, read and rise. In the riwayah, wartaqi. Read and rise. فَإِنَّ مَنْزِلَتَكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بِآخِرِ مَا تُتَرِ. Like, your place with Allah is going to be in the last thing that you, آخِرِ آيَةَ تَقْرَأُهَا, the last ayah that you read. So that's very important. And then finally, I just want to say that death comes to all of us, and no one knows when death will come, but it will come. All of us have an appointment. We know, basically, it's going to be within 70, 80, 90, maybe 100, maybe 110. But it's coming. And it could come at just when you're young. It could. People we loved, we lost them. Young, beautiful people we lost in accidents and other things, or from sickness. Death will come. And all people love life. Even rarely, suicide is actually much rarer than one would think it would be. If you think about it, the type of suffering on this planet and the type of things people go through. I mean, there's this, and people that commit suicide, they tend to be extremely sensitive people. That they just get overwhelmed. And the prohibitions are really strong, because you have to be strong in the dunya. You can't let this place tear you down. You have to be strong. This is a place for strong people. This isn't a place for weary-hearted people. This is a place for strong people. And the thing that will strengthen you is faith. And that's why suicide usually comes when people... I mean, there's mental illnesses, and Allah, inshallah, will forgive those people. But suicide usually comes when there's despair. They despair. And I'll tell you one story. There's a man who does suicide prevention all over this country. He decided to kill himself. And he went to the Golden Gate Bridge. And he said that if anybody asked him how he was doing on the way, he wouldn't kill himself. That's what he told himself. So he's on a bus and he gets to the last stop where the bridge is, and the bus driver looked at him and he was clearly despondent. And he said, "Look, buddy, the ride's over. You need to get off." So he went and he jumped off the bridge, and he said the moment, he's one of the few people that survived that bridge. Very few, over 300 people traditionally killed themselves on the bridge every year. Right. He survived, but he said the moment he jumped, he said, "This is a mistake." The moment, and I think that's what every single person who commits suicide will say. This is a mistake. When he landed, he broke almost every bone in his body. A seal came. And held him up. Because it wasn't time to go. A seal came and held him up. And just held him until the lifeguard got there. You know, the patrol. And they just told him, "You have no idea how lucky you are. Because we pull dead people out all the time." And he realized how lucky he was. And that's why what he does for the rest of his life is to try to prevent people from killing themselves because of the gift of life. But also, death is a gift. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Al-mawtu tuhfat al-mu'min." Death is the gift of the believer. It's a gift. One of them said, "La tadhun al-mawta mawtan innahu la hayatun wa huwa ghayat al-muna." Don't think death is death. It is life. And it is your heart's desire. "La tur'akum hajmat al-mawti fama huwa illa intiqarun min huna." Don't be afraid of this death that's going to force itself on you, because it's just moving from this place to another place. فَاخْلَعُوا الْأَجْسَادَ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ تُبْصِرُ الْحَقَّ عِيَانًا بَيِّنًا. So throw off these mortal coils and see the truth as an eyewitness. That's death. الْمَوْتُ تُحْفَةُ الْمُؤْمَنِ. When Socrates went to his trial, they said, "What do you think your punishment should be?" He said, "You should give me free meals for the rest of my life, because I'm doing the state a great service by bothering everybody." And then when they sent him to death, he said, "I'm not worried, because on my way, my spirit guide told me that death is a good thing." And he said, "We're afraid of death because we don't know what's coming after." And that's where the fear of death comes. And then finally, the Prophet ﷺ, and remember, everything was more difficult for him in this dunya, including his death. There's a hadith in al-Bukhari that when it was thaqul al-Nabi ﷺ, it was really heavy for him. وَجَعْلَ يَتَغَشَّاهُ الْكَرْبِ. And great distress was upon him. فَقَالَتْ فَاطِمَةُ. His daughter was with him, رضي الله عنه. And she said, وَقْرَبْ أَبَتَاهُ. What distress, O my father? And he replied, لَيْسَ عَلَى أَبِيكِ كَرْبٌ بَعْدَ الْيَوْمِ. There's no more distress after today for your father. He said, فَقَالَتْ يَا أَبَتَا أَجَابَ رَبًّا دَعَا يَا أَبَتَا جَنَّةَ الْفَرْدَوْسِ مَأْوَى يَا أَبَتَا إِلَى جِبْرِيلَ تَنَعَا فَلَمَّا دُفِيَ. So then she said, "Oh my father,
You answered your Lord's prayer when he called you, "Oh my Father, the highest paradise is where you're headed. Oh my Father, Jibreel will announce your death." So it's a great blessing, and we should guard our lives and protect them and just feel grateful to be alive, but we shouldn't fear death because it's also a great blessing. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah make us all believers and make the last words we say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله الحمد لله على إتمام رمضان اللهم تقبل منا طاعاتنا اللهم اغفر لنا تقصيرنا اللهم بارك في صيامنا وقيامنا اللهم أقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تقول به بيننا وبين معصيك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغ به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقوتنا أبدا ما أحييتنا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا غاية رغبتنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك ولا يرحمك. اللهم فرج عن المسلمين في كل مكان وفي القدس وفي فلسطين. اللهم فرج عنهم يا الله. اللهم زع عليهم السكينة. اللهم انصرهم يا الله. أنت العزيز، أنت الغفار، أنت الكبير، أنت المتعالي، أنت المتكبر يا الله. اللهم أرينا قوتك فيهم يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أرينا قدرتك عليهم يا الله، أنت أرحم الراحمين، فارحمنا وتوب علينا. اللهم اغفر لنا واغفر المسلمين في كل مكان. اللهم بارك في مشايخنا في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها. اللهم اجعلنا من أهل القرآن. اللهم اجعلنا من أهل القرآن. اللهم اجعل القرآن جلاء قلوبنا. اللهم اجعل القرآن جلاء قلوبنا وربيع قلوبنا. اللهم اجعله ذهاب همومنا وغمومنا. اللهم اجعل القرآن قرينا لنا في قبورنا. اللهم اجعل القرآن أنيسا لنا في دنيانا. اللهم اجعل القرآن دائما على ألسنتنا يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم احفظنا منه ما نسينا. اللهم يا الله اجعلنا من الذين يطبقون القرآن. اللهم اجعلنا من الذين يستمعون الكلام فيتبعون أحسنه. اللهم اجعلنا من الذين أنت قدت فيهم قد أفلح المؤمنون. اللهم اجعلنا من الذين قدتم فيهم قد أفلح المؤمنون. اللهم اجعلنا مداومين على صلواتنا. اللهم اجعل آخر كلماتنا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. عيدكم مبارك إن شاء الله. I hope everybody didn't pay your zakat in Qatar. إن شاء الله it's معلقة the siyam until you pay it. So. Inshallah. Barakallahu alaykum. Assalamu alaykum.